podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses. Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
More dirt and Sprague.
Where are you going? And he's like, I'm going bowling. I just started laughing because I'm like, of course you're going bowling on a random Tuesday night.
Sounds like
night.
A great Tuesday night.
It's breakfast time with Dirt and Sprague.
Now, do you have your own ball?
I have two balls.
Starting your day with a big cup of dirt and a little splash of Sprague.
Your spare ball, you don't want it to hook as much, so it will go straighter. And then the strike ball, you want to be able to get some crank on that.
Heat on that.
When you hit the pocket, you get big pin action.
Well, everybody wants to hit the pocket. I mean, come on now.
Dirt and Sprague on the Fan Sports Network.
Hey, welcome back in. Hour number three, Dirt and Sprague here, Portland Sports Leader of 105.1 FM, The Fan, 1080 AM, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube. Good morning, everybody. Really excited for this one, man. We got a lot to get to over the next 2 hours of the show. This is one where, like, you think back to a younger self. We're unique in this regard. We grew up in this market, root for the teams in this market. And so this is one, like, a day I will never forget in my sports fandom. And it happened to coincide with something else in my life. The last day I ever played a high school baseball game, or baseball game for that matter, because I didn't play baseball after high school. Our state playoff game, we ended up losing. But before the game was going on, it was an evening game, we were all sitting in the dugout waiting for the draft lottery reading.
Who wasn't?
Of 2007.
Oh,
like,
God.
High school playoff game, bedamned. We might have the number one overall pick in the NBA draft. It's a day I'll never forget, and it led to Greg Oden becoming a Portland Trailblazer and joining us now for the first time.
The biggest guest in show history.
Literally the biggest guest in show history. Greg Oden, former Portland Trailblazer. He's going to be the keynote speaker at the PDXYZ event August 5th through the 7th. So coming up a couple months from now, an event that we've had something to do with here the last handful of years. Greg, good morning, man. How's life? How we doing? We got him. Did we lose him?
We lost him.
We lost him.
We lost Gregory Oden.
We lost Gregory
Oden. Damn it, Swag.
We're off to a horrible start.
Yeah.
He called in early.
And he was like, Gregory Oden?
Yes, he was excited.
Dude.
He's pumped to be here. He loves the city of Portland.
If he's doing voices calling in, he should have a cartoon
Let's try
voice.
Again. Greg, can you hear us?
We got him.
I can hear you guys.
Let's go, baby.
Yes,
let's
hear
go.
Me.
Yes.
We got you.
Loud and clear.
What's going? What are we up to these days, Greg? What's life been like?
Oh, my gosh. Well, first off, I appreciate you guys for having me. I definitely heard the, oh, gosh, before the 2007 draft. Yeah. I understand it as well. Kevin Durant is amazing. I'm going to get that out the way right now. He's one of the greatest players to ever play the game. I'm just going to say that right now. But right now, Gregory Oden is sitting in Louisville, Kentucky, about to go to day one of everything going on here for the horse races.
Ooh.
And, yeah, but these days I'm working with Elite Life Consulting, do everything sports marketing firm, helping getting these kids to colleges and helping them get NIL deals and doing it for the right reasons. You know, I've been on both sides. I've coached. I've played, and I just want these kids to have better lives than me, even though I'm pretty happy with myself right now. And I'm going to thank Portland Trailblazers for that, because my life changed the day that I got drafted, and I would never forget that. I am indebted to the city of Portland and the Portland Trailblazers and organization and Paul Allen and his family. I am so thankful for everything. So I appreciate you all for having me. And just know I got all that out the way, so now I can talk.
I love it. I'm glad you did that. I want to ask you this. So we watched this Jailblazer doc, and it had Bonzi in it. And Bonzi Wells gets traded to Portland, and he thought it was Portland, Maine. He didn't know where Portland, Oregon was. And I don't know if I've ever heard this from you. Like, when it came down to Seattle, Portland, when it got to that point, it was a shock to everybody. Were you in your mind, like, I'm assuming you knew where Seattle was. Like, what did you even know about Portland, Oregon when it, like, came down to the last two picks?
So I wasn't like Bonzi per se, but I was on the flight. And literally when I landed, because it was supposed to be Boston, Memphis, and then it was Portland, Seattle, I go, huh. Okay.
Different part of the country.
All right.
Yes. But honestly, I knew nothing. But I learned quick. You guys have some really good seafood and really great people and one of the best sceneries in the country.
Yeah. It's funny when you think back to, I'm curious to ask you, because we're going through a playoff run right now. The Blazers, I think they're going to probably lose tonight and the season will come to an end. But we're going through a lot of these young guys kind of getting that taste of the playoffs for the first time. And I wanted to ask you about that. Mm-hmm. Like there was so much hope and optimism, man. Like, this city was alive in a way, in a basketball standpoint, that it hadn't been in a long time when you guys made that playoff series and you're going against Houston. It's the first time in a minute mm-hmm. since they had been there. Like, as a young player going through that for the first time, like, how different was the game, the speed, the matchups throughout the course of a series? Like, what did you learn and how did you evolve, I guess, throughout going through that experience for the first time? Because we've got a lot of young guys who are doing that right now in the playoffs.
Well, honestly, I think that first playoff series kind of hits you hard. You really don't know what to expect. You don't really understand that the game is different when it comes to playoff basketball, but it really is. And I just think a lot of these young guys are going through it for the first time, but now they got the experience. But that's one thing that we see in Jrue Holiday, who's been through it before. He understands that. He understands that the reffing is different. He understands that the physicality is different. He understands that the moment is not meant for you to just be cool. Like, you actually need to take advantage of this moment and play your best basketball. So I really respect Jrue for everything that he's doing. And I think that, I hate to say this, but I am so proud of the Trailblazers for winning one game, because I honestly had San Antonio winning the championship. So the fact that we were able to get a game, I think we overstepped for my expectations. But I'm just so proud of this team. I love Denny. I love everybody on this team. I love the organization. I just love the fact that they go out there and they hoop. And when they're playing fast and they're hitting their threes, I think we're actually a really good contender.
Well, you've gotten to the coaching element. I know you're in the NIL space now, and I do want to ask you about that. It's very interesting, as somebody who didn't have it, and my God, your life financially, what the difference would have been if Greg Oden out of high school going into Ohio State would have had something like this and the perspective you can offer. I got to ask you a hoop question, though, as somebody that watches basketball, that knows the game so well, who's also a pretty big dude. What are you doing against a Victor Wembanyama, this 7'5 alien that weighs 10 pounds, but man, he's so skilled, he's so smart. Like, how is Greg Oden defending against a player like that, where not very many times in your life you're going against somebody kind of bigger than you in some ways? Like, what would you do or tell a Donovan Clingan, and how to defend a guy like that?
Well, first off, he's still kind of light. Once he gets Giannis weight, then the NBA got to worry about a whole entire problem.
Yeah.
But right now, you push him out. Mm. But secondly, the way he's playing and his dedication, you just got to fight them and both get kicked out. You just got to sacrifice.
We got young Hansen, man, our rookie center. He's good for 5-6 fouls. Throw him out there,
man. No, put somebody in there and just fight them. And then both of them get kicked out. And then, you know, you can play a regular game.
Can we hire you as coach? I think that's probably the best strategy to date that we've heard on handling Victor Wembanyama.
Now, Greg, we're winning two games.
Now we got two games. He's not playing. That's probably our only chance.
I got a coach's mindset. I'm just saying. I know.
They go to
look, when I think about it, and I'm trying to think about, look, you can't change the game of basketball. He's one of the greatest basketball players out there.
Yeah.
Right now, I mean, he can shoot the three, he got mid-range, he can dunk everything, he's taller than everybody, he blocks everything, he got handles, he can steal. Like, literally, you just got to get him out the game. But another thing right now that I've seen, you know, he plays about 5, 6, 7 minutes, and then they have to take him out. Mm-hmm. So if the Trailblazers, you know, they get up and down, that's one thing I saw. What was game two? You guys start running and hit the three, I think we can actually get something going. But you got to get him tired, because he does so much on a basketball court that he's going to wear himself out until he gets to that level that Giannis was like. Yeah. I just do everything and I am everything. I came from nothing, so this is nothing to me.
Yeah, we're talking.
And I don't know if that makes sense, but it. In my head, it does.
Yeah, for sure does. Yeah, we're talking about Greg Oden, former number one overall pick, Portland Trailblazer. He's going to be the PDX YZ keynote speaker August 5th through 7th here in Portland. And it's really fun, man. This is a fun interview. I'm curious to go back to the college days for you because you're saying you're working in the NIL space now and just how crazy that is. Like, I saw a report, and we haven't talked about it on the show yet, but I think it was Jonathan Givony had a thing about the number of players that had declared for the NBA draft is one of the lowest it's been, you know, 25 years, somewhere along those lines. Only 71 players so far, because so many guys are coming back for another year and being like, hey, maybe I'm a second round pick, but this school is going to pay me X amount to keep playing. So I'm just curious what you make of the space and the way it's evolved and kind of the Wild West nature of it. And then taking yourself back to your college days, how do you think you would have handled having that when you were 18 years old in your year at Ohio State?
Well, let's just put this in perspective. I'm pretty sure Bryce James is making more than Bronny James in college.
Jeez.
Which is crazy to say out loud. When Bronny James just played, today's Tuesday, so 2 days ago,
yeah,
in the playoffs, right? On the two-way contract that got brought up to a regular contract. So, why would you not stay in college? And if a school is going to find a way to get you $5-6 million to just be a college student and a kid, why not?
Mm-hmm. Right.
But the only thing about that I hate is, what is the motivation for you getting better? What is the motivation for you to want more? Because at this point, when these kids are getting this at 17, 18, what is going to drive you to be the best you can at 25 when you already made this much money? So that's going to weigh out a lot of kids that just come in there just to make money and not for the love of the game and for the love of the sport and competition. And to say this, if I was playing in the NIL era, I would be at least top three highest paid ever in NIL.
Yeah, for sure.
Not to be conceited at all. No. You know.
Number one pick in the draft.
Facts, man.
So.
Yeah.
Well, can I ask you then, like, kind of a two-parter then? One, so some of these kids are making the money in high school. Like, there are states that have okayed the high school players to start making money. They don't even have to wait to college. And so you see, mm-hmm, like, there's a couple high school basketball players. One kid at Rainier Beach, Stokes, he was in, like, an Allstate commercial or something. Like, they can make that money, mm-hmm, then. How would it have impacted or changed maybe your drive as an athlete in high school at North Lawrence to make that money and then at Ohio State making even more money? And then where are we getting – where's the NIL space need to be fixed? What is it about the NIL space to make you dive in and want to invest your time and your energy to address what it is right now?
Well, first I'll say it was Lawrence North High School in Indianapolis, Indiana.
Thank you. Yeah, you're right. That's my apologies.
I apologize.
No, but I apologize.
I have to say that. But honestly, I wish I can say I knew. All I know is from my heart, I think the NCAA is going to have a big problem on their hands because there is a lot of kids that's transferring from schools that literally, when they graduate, don't have a home school because you went to 3 colleges in 4 years.
Right.
So what school do you actually represent or what school do you feel closest to? But then another thing is, you know, when you transfer, you drop out second semester. So when you drop out second semester, those credits don't count. Mm. And then when these guys transfer out of state, do they forget that you got to pay taxes the year before that year? So it's going to be a lot of kids. And there's no more COVID year.
Right.
So there's going to be a lot of kids coming up in the next 2 or 3 years that literally are going to be done with college owing Uncle Sam and not having a degree. Mm-hmm. Because if you drop out three times, how many credits do you really have with no more COVID years? So I think the NCAA is going to have a real big problem, and I think that's where it needs to come from. And honestly, you know, giving these kids this money, I mean, right now it's the Wild Wild West. It's way too much money for a lot of these kids that really don't deserve it. One of my biggest stories is me coaching at Butler and walking into Madison Square Garden for the Big East tournament, and I'm the highest paid. Well, I'm not the highest paid. I'm the most known in the arena. But our fourth man is getting paid more than me. And I'm doing three jobs at Butler. And it's like, what is going on right now? Like, literally, nobody wants to talk to you. They want to come and take pictures with me.
Yeah.
And I'm just the video coordinator slash double slash assistant big man coach slash NIL guy. Like, it was a lot going on for me not to get paid more than the players.
Yeah.
And that's what's happening with a lot of these coaches, by the way. Their players are getting paid a lot more than them, and they don't even know what's going on. And they're really not that good, by the way.
Mm. Yeah, it changes the dynamic of the relationship. There's no doubt about that. When you talk about coaching, the college stuff is a hilarious story about the time at Butler. Do you see that as like a future for you? Is that something you want to get back into and you think you could do long term, or you got a taste of it and you're like, nah, man, I'm good?
Honestly, I would love to be a GM of a college team, and I would love to help out with the bigs. So, like, for me, I'm like, look, Ohio State, I'm saying it right now, Ohio State, let me be a GM. You need a face, I'm the face. Who's the only number one draft pick in the history? Gregory Oden. I don't even need to do all the dirty work or all that stuff that you want me to do. If you want me to, I will. But if you need to send me off to do some fundraising with Ohio State and then I happen to be in California or in Oregon, why not? Would I not do a little visit to a kid that we're trying to recruit?
Mm-hmm.
And then when I come back, I can go in and be on the court with the bigs. Like, to me, that's the ideal job. So I'm just putting that out in the universe. Ohio State, what's going on?
Hey, I know Oregon needs a GM right now, Greg. Dane Altman doesn't have a GM. If you're looking, you want to move back out.
Oregon,
let's go.
Hey, Oregon, you need a GM. I keep saying, look, you just need a face. Who else can make any phone call to any Division I school, any school actually in the country? I like to say that I don't open up doors. Sometimes I'll just be walking down the street, the door's open, and be like, G.O., what's good? Come here.
We have a new owner here, which, you know, you shouted out Paul Allen and the organization for the way they treated you when you got here and everything, and that's great. And I think we have a lot of culture shock. We got the media out here, the fans, maybe even some of the players behind the scenes. We haven't heard anybody publicly, but there's a lot of culture shock because the guy's not coming in with Paul Allen money. The guy's coming in, and we've nicknamed him Tommy Two Nickels. He seems to be cutting and being a little bit cheap. What can you tell us the extravagant lifestyle of a number one pick and NBA guys in general, where you hear about an NBA owner deciding to be cheap around the organization and make cuts, like how that resonates, you think, from the player side and just how to operate an organization when you are that cheap?
Well, first off, your contract is your contract. So that's one thing. I don't know where you can be cheap in that aspect, but in everything else, I haven't been there. I know it's a new age right now. But I just think that he can't really cut what's already been put there.
Right.
it's already set in stage. Like, this is a funny story that y'all don't know about, but when I first got to Portland, we didn't have washcloths. We had towels.
Mm.
We had to wash with our hands. Until me, B-Roy LaMarcus, was like, hold on now. We African-Americans, we use washcloths. So, like, what's going on here? And then at one point, one of the guys had to start cutting up towels to get us washcloths. Yeah. And I'm just saying, like, at this point in the league, like, I don't see where he can cut. Only thing that he's going to cut is bringing in a big name to Portland.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah, white people use hands. I don't know what that is. I don't know what that says about us, but white people
are. Evidently, I need to be using a washcloth,
man. I didn't say that. Yeah,
no, it's two white guys on the phone with you, Greg.
It's okay. A lot right now.
We're trying to educate each other. You know, we're growing as people right now. I like this.
I'm a 39-year-old pale white. I'm telling you right up, I use my hands every day. It is what it is. I don't know why.
Today, washcloth for Gregory. That's what we're doing. Last one I got for you. I am curious because you and I, we're all kind of roughly the same age. I remember being a senior in high school, your freshman year at Ohio State, watch you get to the national title game and all that. I've always wanted to know, do you remember what size shorts you wore at Ohio State?
They were 2X, but at that time, I think Nike was trying to recreate the Melo shorts. Yeah. So the 2X was like a 4X and length.
Yeah. You ever look back at those photos
like
and go
swimming in those things, man?
You ever look back at those photos and go,
yeah,
damn.
It was the tight upper one and then the big old shorts. Yeah. Yes, I remember.
Those things were massive.
Look, I know everybody's careers are different lengths. Is it not nuts to you to still see your buddy Mike Conley out there in the playoffs right now playing basketball? That's nuts to me.
What you talking about? I was tearing my butt off last night.
Oh, I know.
I'm going to say this.
It's crazy still
so
playing.
With Chris Paul retiring, the oldest players in the league are LeBron James, Al Horford, Jeff Green, Mike Conley, and Kevin Durant. Mm. And my draft was me, Kevin Durant, Al Horford, Mike Conley, and Jeff Green.
That was the seven guys, yeah.
And just so you know, when I say it out loud, it hurts my feelings.
Yeah.
But you know what? I am so proud of those guys. I'm a fan of the game. And to see them guys still go out there and still do it at this level, I'm happy and I'm joyful and proud to see those guys still doing. I wish I could. But I think there was a bunch of knee surgeries that happened in Portland, Oregon.
Yeah, but you probably wish you could shoot threes. Could you shoot threes in this era?
I probably would start shooting threes. But like I keep on telling people, if you can't stop me from dunking, why am I shooting threes?
Amen, man.
That's a great point.
Amen. Look, I hope, you know, this has been a really fun one for us as guys who grew up in Portland and remember, followed the team for a long time. I hope that you know, too, like what the city feels about you. And like as we're watching messages come in during the interview, it's unanimous of like, man, tell Greg how much the city of Portland loves him and how many great memories that we had and some of the highlight dunks and the moments that this fan base will never forget. And so I know it wasn't the outcome that anybody wanted when it started, but I hope you know how much you still mean to the city, and whenever you come back, it's still a big deal, and you're going to be at the PDXYZ event August 5th through 7th as the keynote speaker, so always welcome back on the show anytime you want. I hope you know you're loved in Rip City and always will be, and thanks for the time this morning, man. We appreciate it.
Well, I just want to say I hope if you guys are around, come to the PDXYZ event in August. I'm just going to have some very candid, open conversations, and I hope people can come out and just support. But I love the city of Portland. I really appreciate the Portland Trailblazers. They literally changed my life, my family's life, and I'm forever grateful to them. And I appreciate you guys for having me. But I do like to say that, you know, I'm not down of how everything went. I hate that I wasn't able to turn up for Portland like I really wanted to, but it's my only life. Like, I can't be down about it. I don't look down or think it was a bad thing. I think it happened, and I got to make the best of it. So I think when in everybody else's life, look at it like that as well. Like, you can't control what somebody else does. All you can control is what's going on in your life. So make the best of it and be happy, because if it's something that's bad, I mean, shit, what you going to do about it? Just cry? No. You got to wake up tomorrow too. So if it's bad, make the best of it. Smile. Be the best. Make the best of any terrible situation because it's your only life. So.
And use a wash rag.
And use a wash rag. A wash rag. Absolutely. I love it. Yeah. Amen. Greg,
oh, 100% wash your ass.
Enjoy the Derby, man. Thanks for the time. We appreciate it.
All right. Thank you so much.
There you go. Greg Oden, former number one overall pick.
Wash your ass.
Wash your ass. Lesson of the day, use a washcloth. Wash
Greg
your ass.
Greg Oden's lesson of the day, wash your ass.
Look, we knew we'd go long there. We got to play catch up, but that was a lot of fun. Thanks again to Greg Oden. Again, PDXYZ event, August 5th through 7th. He's going to be the keynote speaker. We're back after this on The Fam.
Hey, y'all. I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together, we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one. So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast.
Let's love.
All right, welcome back in. That was fun, man. That was a lot of fun.
That was great to catch up with him. I didn't so much want to lean into the... because he's done interviews.
Yeah. I didn't want him to take my opening thing as like, what a bummer that we took.
I know.
I was genuinely being serious. Like, I don't have a lot to be happy about in my lifetime as a Blazer fan. We've talked about that at length.
It's up there.
That's why the Jailblazer teams always meant so much to us, because that's really all we got. Yeah. That's like a top 10 Blazer fandom day in my life. Maybe top 5.
Since
the day we got the number one overall pick.
Post the, I would say, the 2000 Western Conference Finals.
Yes.
From then on, it's the emergence of Roy.
Yes, some of the moments that Roy brought you in the wins, but he never won a playoff series.
I know, but we know what it meant to us.
It meant a ton, no doubt about it.
Having LaMarcus.
Yeah.
Dame.
Great, getting the number one
Western Conference Finals. Yeah. I think you're right. I think it's in the top 5 post the 2000 Western Conference Finals of moments for the Trailblazers.
Never forget that day.
Wash rag, no wash rag. We've talked about that before.
Yes.
I'm glad that they have introduced it into the Blazers organization.
Thanks to Greg Oden.
Shout out the three black guys. Brandon Roy, Greg Oden, LaMarcus Aldridge.
I'm a hand guy too.
Yeah.
Hand.
Yeah.
All the time.
I
need a rag. What do you do with it after you're done? Do you hang it up somewhere?
Yeah, it's usually hanging in the shower.
And like you hang it on, you got to get a little hook for it?
There's a little hook that's usually on the thing.
Oh, okay.
You don't have like a shower rack?
No, not well. I guess we do.
The wife has not a rag, but it's basically used as a rag. It is
like a loofah.
It's not a loofah.
Not a full loofah.
It looks like not an oven mitt, but you know the square oven thing.
It's like something you wash your car with.
It kind of looks like one of those.
Okay,
it is so bristly. If I rub my arm with it, it's red for an hour.
Yeah, they like scrubbing. I don't like scrubbing. I like soft and delicate. I need to be touched.
You drop a they?
Gently. Yeah, ladies. They like it. They like it rough. Yeah. I like it soft.
Well, to Greg Oden's point, black people.
Yeah. Well, I don't think the washcloth is rough. I think it's a little bit different.
Some washcloths are rough.
Okay.
I don't know if the Blazer towel wash rag was tough.
They're just in there cutting up towels, turning them in. Washcloth.
I love that he did that.
If you missed it, Greg Oden interview was a lot of fun. Or Gregory, as he's going by now. Evidently, we got a name change. So Gregory Oden was awesome.
So do you go from, I used to say Gregory to Greg.
Yeah, you
Not
think you
reversed.
Go the other way around. But hey, if he wants to be Gregory, I'll call him Gregory. I'm going to go to the event. I want to get my Greg Oden jersey signed.
Yeah.
So that was really fun. If you miss it, we'll have it up after the show, 1051thefan.com. And then you can rewind on YouTube, the app, and all that. Go find it. Really fun conversation with Greg Oden. Let's try and get back on track here. And something that I asked him about where this trend goes from here in the NBA. That's next. All right, we got the mail sack coming up top of the hour. Your questions are welcome. 503-864-6326. People arguing wash your ass needs to be a drop, which I think it does. Hopefully we didn't laugh over it, because then he said it. That was pretty funny. So fingers crossed. We'll check the audio on that.
I got to worry about you. You're the giggler.
Dude, that
you
one
like
was
the giggle.
When he dropped a wash your ass, I couldn't help on that one.
Swag, can you check to see if wash your ass was
at the very end there. That'd be a solid drop right there.
Yeah.
So we'll get to the mail sack coming up top of the hour. And I got a couple of random NFL kind of leftovers, if you will, here in a few moments that we have not got to yet out of the NFL draft, including one player in the relationship that he may or may not have had with the team prior to the draft, and then one guy going undrafted that led to a lot of conversation, if you will. So that's coming up in a moment. I asked Greg about this, and I'm curious to get your thoughts on it. Like this was a storyline yesterday out of the NFL draft weekend for me, and it was when you looked at the percentage of players from Power 4 schools that when drafted, it was higher. The percentage just keeps going up and up and up because so many good players, if you're having good seasons at the FCS level or the Group of Six level, you transfer up to a Power Four level. There's also the storylines from GMs anonymously saying, you know, we feel like some of the talent in rounds 4 through 7 is not what it's been in years past because more guys are deciding to stay in school.
Boo-hoo.
I'm not crying about it. I just find it an interesting trend of where it goes from here. This is another one that came out yesterday. So Jonathan Givony yesterday put this out. We know how rampant NIL is in college basketball. How many guys are transferring? It was wild. We do this every year in like the Sweet 16. Outside of Michigan State, they put like the little graphics of where everybody started their career and what school they're playing for now. And essentially every school was like you couldn't even guess where they'd what school it was.
Michigan's whole starting lineup
was all from transfers, right? Michigan State's one of those random outliers in a modern era that's still doing it in an old school way. Well, now add this to the mix. There have only been 71 players entered into the 2026 NBA draft. That is down from 106 from last year, mm-hmm. and a peak of in 2021, there were 363. 5 years ago, 363. This year, 71. That's the lowest entry total since 2003. And there's a double-edged sword to this, right? On the one hand, you can make the argument, probably good for college basketball. Guys are coming back and finishing their careers, and hopefully, although to Greg's point, it's hard to do when you transfer a ton, getting a degree. On the other part, it's a little bit slim pickings the deeper down the boards you go. And I can't remember the kid's name because I don't follow it closely, but I think there was a Florida kid who had a chance to be a lottery pick, mm-hmm. decided to come back to school. And so that number was jaw-dropping to me of 71 players entered into the NBA draft.
Yeah, I mean, fat chance to me these kids are getting degrees even when deciding to come back. Yeah. I mean, to Greg's point, you're transferring. What are your credits transferring over? What classes did you even take for the semester?
PE? Yeah, pool.
Ballroom dancing? Yeah. Pool? Like, yeah. Remote PE? Like,
billiards.
So it's like I don't think it's going that direction. It's just they're chasing bags.
I don't blame them. It's more affordable that way, or more fruitful.
Do you want to be a high second round pick in the NBA draft, or do you want to go make $6 million to go play for Kentucky? I think for most people, I'm leaning Kentucky.
Yeah,
because I think I'm good enough to get better, make the money, come back and be a first round pick next year. So. Like, I saw that takeaway, I think it was DaCosta said it with the Ravens, and you've heard, I think, Andrew Brandt sent out a video where he talked about how hard it was for them in round 6 and 7 in the NIL, and now it's going from 4 to 7, and I'm like,
right.
Cry me a river.
Yeah,
like, get out of here.
I don't care about NFL teams complaining about it. I just find it interesting.
Picks aren't even going to make the team half the time.
No, I just find it interesting more so from an angle of like, what is it? Because, I mean,
basketball
it's unique
is a
in the
lot
NBA.
Different.
Basketball's for sure
it's
different.
It's a lot different.
Well, let's
football.
Use one of our guys who's on the trip, by the way, as a two-way player.
Yeah.
Caleb Love this year, I believe, made $600,000.
He easily made triple that at Arizona.
Easily. He's making $2 million probably last year as a tournament team and one of the faces of their program.
You don't leave North Carolina for Arizona unless the bag is really good.
So it's like, what would you rather do? Be playing for the Rip City Ignite, or would you rather be making $2 million playing in the, you know, Final Four in Arizona? It's a no-brainer.
Yeah, but some guys don't want to do it over and over. I'm not saying that they don't want the money. It's that, like, Caleb Love, I guess, is different because he was in college for, what, 3 years, right? North Carolina and then
yes,
Arizona
that sounds right.
2 years in a row?
I think so.
It's 3 or 4 years. You're going to get some guys who want to hang around for 5, but you're going to get a lot of other guys. Like, how much would A.J. DeBonsa make if he came back? We debated this last year, by the way. I brought this up organically as
a
topic.
Cooper Flagg.
Cooper Flagg could go to the NBA. Yeah. He'll be the number one pick.
5 years, by the way, for Caleb Love because he had a COVID
that's
year.
Right.
So
thank
he's
you.
5 years in college.
So when you look at Cooper Flagg, what was his first year salary? What's the first pick in the NBA
draft? Oh, I don't know off the top of my head.
Give me a second.
It's not massive, but it's decent NIL payment.
So it's a 4-year, $62 million deal with 28 guaranteed. His average salary is 15.6.
Yeah. He could easily have made that.
What could
NIL?
He have made at Duke with the NIL there plus endorsements at Duke? Right. He probably could have matched it.
Easily.
But, like, there's only going to be so many guys that say no to that. Versus, like, Darius Acuff. You don't think Calipari would find a way for the Walton family and the Tyson chicken money to get Darius Acuff paid to come back to Arkansas.
Yeah.
But Darius Acuff would rather be the sixth pick in the draft, the fifth pick in the draft, or work his way up to be the sneaky third pick, whatever it ends up being.
It's more the fringe guys, the second round guys, the guys who don't have an easy pathway. And this is where I think there is a positive. We talk a lot about the negatives of NIL, and I get it. Like, guys transferring a ton sucks, and you don't lose. You don't have the connection to the program or the players that maybe you used to and all that.
Sure.
But from the point that Greg's trying to make, but some of these guys trying to set themselves up financially and what could it mean for them, like, a lot of these guys don't on to have long, lengthy NBA careers. And so if somebody's going to pay you $3 million to stay in college for 1 year instead of testing the market as the end of the second round pick that's a two-way player not making a ton of money, it's a no-brainer financially for them. And I think it's also beneficial to the sport because you're having guys stick to the college sport, I should say.
Right.
Having guys stick around a little bit longer. They're more experienced. The product hopefully gets a little bit better. I think all of that can become a win for college sports.
Well, and look at Yaxel Lindenborg, right?
Yes, he's like, a great example of
this. He could have come out last year. And he would have been picked, but he came back. They won the title. He made a ton of money. And now he's probably going to, I mean, maybe he would have been in lottery last year to the point of draft evaluators, but he seems like he's destined to be in the lottery.
Yeah,
like, so it works out for a lot of guys. I understand the number thing, and maybe it's a problem down the road that we need to address and change. I think them making noise in the NBA and NFL is kind of setting this up in a particular way.
Yeah.
But also, like, I don't blame any of these student-athletes for going back and making more money, especially in football.
Man. College is fun, too, man. That sounds like a great time to me. A couple million dollars, go play some college.
I think Dante Moore's going to enjoy this year in Eugene.
He's going to have a lot of fun.
Making what he's making instead of getting his brains beat in at the Jets.
Yep. Let's get to a couple of leftover tidbits from the weekend. An undrafted player that generated some headlines and a secret meeting. Are we buying it? We'll get to that next on The Fan.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together, we have the podcast Office Lady.
Ladies, just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all The Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back in. Millsack coming up top of the hour. Thanks for hanging with us. If you missed it, we had Greg Oden on for about a half hour, about 45 minutes ago. It was a delightful interview. Really fun for us to talk to him, and so you can go catch that 1051thefan.com or rewind on YouTube. Oh, what do we got? What happened?
He's coming in studio in August.
Yes, he is. The brand man just came in to alert us. He had so much fun on that interview that when he's in town in August, he wants to pop into the studio.
I'm going to get him the greatest wash rags as a gift when he comes in studio.
I think that's a phenomenal idea.
I think it's a good idea.
I'm bringing in my Greg Oden jersey to get it autographed.
So you're after just something from him. I'm trying to give something to him. That explains us in a nutshell right there.
I'm going to frame that thing, put it in my man cave.
I'm trying to help him wash his ass, and you're out here. Can you give me something?
My signed jersey collection
wash
now
ass.
Is... Oh, let me hear it again.
Wash your ass.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
Can you drop the last... Huh. I think that might be you.
Well, yeah, he had already said it, though. Try it again.
Wash your ass.
Yeah, right at the...
See if there's one more millisecond that we can slop off that guy.
Just cut, and I think we can get it in there.
My autographed jersey collection is now up to Gary Danielson and potentially Greg Oden.
Is that all your... That's all your signed autographed jerseys?
I don't have any other signed jerseys, no.
Mine
I have
is...
other signed pictures and things, but no other jerseys.
Jerseys is a fun one, because I think at this point, now that I know he's coming, I got to get a Greg Oden jersey signed.
You have to.
So I will have... Greg Oden, Sebastian Telfair.
Hell yeah.
Gilbert Arenas.
Hell yes.
Wash your ass.
That's perfect.
That's good. That's
perfect.
Good right there.
Really well done there, Swagger.
What a drop by Greg Oden.
Wash your ass.
This was interesting. So this came out. We talked about it on Monday, or Friday it would have been, because the first round of the NFL draft. And the shocker of the opening round ended up being, wait, who did the Rams take? What?
I don't believe them.
So you're calling fake news on this.
I watched the press conference.
Everybody thought that Sean McVay looked like he was in a hostage video talking about them drafting Ty Simpson. Well, Ty Simpson did an interview on ESPN Radio in L.A.
Well, don't forget, he also came out when he was drafted and said, I literally haven't talked to anybody in the org except a scout for 20 minutes.
Yeah, that is true. He did say that the night of the draft.
That was after he got drafted.
Was the ruse still on?
Why would you still have a ruse on?
These are not the droids you're looking for.
Play the clip. This makes no sense to me.
Here's Ty Simpson on ESPN Radio saying secret meetings were had.
You know, we tried to keep this, you know, under wraps as long as we could. You know, it was something to where I knew they were interested, but, you know, they wanted to, you know, make it private and didn't want people to know that, you know, they were interested. So I had, you know, some secret meetings with, you know, Coach McVay, and, you know, I just was trying to be on script and, you know, do what, you know, everybody told me and not to tell anybody. So, you know, it was something to where I knew that they were interested. I just didn't know when. And then, you know, sure enough, you know, I had a lot of confidence in myself, and that's why I decided to come out. You know, if it wasn't them, I felt like that it was going to be somebody else.
Secret meetings.
So I didn't pull the clip and send it to Swag, but Schefter did an interview, and it's basically like, if he didn't get picked there, the intel he has collected is he doesn't think Ty Simpson's a first-round quarterback. If he doesn't get picked with the Rams at that pick specifically,
yeah.
Now he's like, I can't say this with 100% confidence.
What do you think, Mr. Editor? Is this right?
But he's basically saying he doesn't think the Cardinals or Jets trade back in.
The Jets
had
another pick.
In the back end, yeah. But he doesn't think that either one of them either in with their pick or trade back in, take him in the first round. So a guy that wasn't going to be picked in the first round, picked at 13. Look, maybe he's right, okay? Can you just walk me through a scenario where you get the job, but then you can't say the company's given you the job? Like, you got picked and you couldn't say, yeah, Coach and I talked for a few hours and grinded tape. I'm pretty excited about it. I didn't know they'd take me at 13. I'm happy that they took me. Instead, it was, I literally haven't talked to anybody. And then Sean McVay rolls out there and he's like, Matthew Stafford's the quarterback. He's going to have to compete with Stetson. And now I'm suddenly supposed to believe that these conversations were ongoing?
It almost makes it even feel weirder of like, so now they're telling him to lie about a lot. Like, they're telling him to
make up
to the media?
Yeah.
Like, no. You need to go on ESPN Radio and do an interview saying that you talked to Sean McVay.
Well, what's happened since the pick? Have we had fallout? Have we had reaction? Have we had takes? How does it look on social media to the fan base that the coach looks like he hates him?
This
the
is
coach
true.
Is the most honest. He's one of the most honest media people you have in coaching. He does interviews. He gives you insight. He gets super excited. When he's happy, you can tell. And when he's pissed off, you can tell. He's one of those. He wears it on his face. I'm telling you, this is somebody who went through this as a fan. My team traded up 3 picks to draft a quarterback who played like 6 starts at North Dakota, whatever. And then all of the intel was like the head coach didn't want him, but the general manager did. And as it unfolded, I was like, yeah. This reporting's true. Kyle clearly didn't want this cat, and he can't play quarterback. Oh, look, Brock Purdy's a starter. I went through it as a fan. I saw it play out. It just is odd. It's very odd to have the guy now come out and like, actually, we had dinner, and he slept with my mom. Like,
I mean, it
no,
does seem really
didn't
weird.
Happen.
The entire thing seems really weird. The only thing that I'll push back on a little bit, just because I don't believe half the stuff he says sometimes, the Schefter thing, I don't believe at all. Like, I just that
oh, that's
it,
total. I'm
it is so
cool
easy
with that.
For
yeah.
teams after the draft
totally
to
fine.
Come out and say we weren't going to take him in the first round
because you want to make another org look stupid.
Exactly,
that's
it makes you look well. No,
totally
no, we weren't planning on doing that. You know, the sources are telling me that we're going to take him to the second round.
No, like, I totally.
That's
I'm
the only part
there.
Of it that I'm like, shut up, Adam. But the rest of it, like, it's a really weird vibe. All of it is strange. He's either lying on draft night about his communication with the Rams. Or he's lying in an ESPN interview about having communication with the Rams when he didn't have it.
He's the 13th
pick. So either way, something's wrong here.
This isn't the third round. This isn't Drew Aller.
It's a top 15 pick.
It's a top 15 quarterback pick.
Yep.
That is the clearest of sign. And org is going to give you the keys to everything. And instead, they played it up like it was not their choice. It just was an odd way to handle drafting a quarterback that high.
Very, very strange. Ty Simpson said secret meetings were had between me and Sean McVay. We got a lot to get to in the final hour of the show. It's just flying by today, man. We'll get back into the Blazers. Is their season over tonight in San Antonio? We got to come up with a poll question of the day. We haven't thrown one out yet.
We do got to.
So we'll cook one out, throw it out here in the final hour of the show, and we'll start there with a mail sack, 503-864-6326. Your questions are welcome, and we'll answer them. Starting them next on The Fan.
I'm Mark Sullinger, producer and one of the hosts of the Moth Podcast. For nearly two decades, The Moth has brought live storytelling to stages around the world and to millions of listeners. These are real people telling true stories from their lives. Stories about a lost family recipe, about working to free a wrongfully convicted man, about realizing you need to leave your May-December romance. Stories that will move you, surprise you, make you laugh. Stories you can't forget. Join us. Follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.